Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Mortar charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny. Do not bob at me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 124 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, February 13th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about stuff, hockey and stuff.
And sticks.
Sticks to the face.
Stuff.
Wins.
More stuff. Hockey stuff.
In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening, folks.
And we got a special guest, David Birding, photographer extraordinaire. He's taken many pictures that I think a lot of Wild fans would recognize.
For good and worse, yeah.
Hold on a second here. I got that.
Oh, we didn't adjust yours.
We didn't adjust ours. Our cameras are a little out of skew there.
That was a blessing.
Where's his mute button? Where's the jerk one? You're not going to play the jerk sample already?
What jerk one?
Oh, boy.
That's what she said.
So, how was y'all? I know me and Kenny had a great week this past week. It was birthday week. So
well, half of the week was great. The other half was, I think I'm going to be sick.
Or my liver's going to, you know,
die.
Go outside of my asshole or at some point here. Got to see Steven Seagulls at the Turf Club, which was pretty awesome.
Did you like Steve or did you like the Seagulls?
I loved them all.
Loved them all. Yeah.
The one with the creepy eyes gave me his beer.
Yeah, and you got to cheers him.
I got to cheers him.
Yeah, that was pretty...
Is that what you call those creepy eyes?
You know, it comes and goes.
It's just like the look.
He's got like three looks. He's got the one where he's like just kind of... Like staring right through you.
Yeah.
He's got the one where he's kind of like just giving you like the corner of the eye look.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got the other one where he's just kind of like there. Like with no thoughts going through his head. Like the gerbil stopped running. That one.
Yeah. I was trying to give them a visual here.
I'm
sure all the folks that are listening are like, wow, this is great, entertaining.
It's gonna be 5 minutes of Jive making faces to a listener.
Yeah. So we can just mute them now.
Sure, why not? Well, let's. We had a lot of hockey, so let's talk some hockey about that.
All right.
So the week started off good with a 4-2 win over Winnipeg. All these games are at home this week too, which is great.
Well, except for that one.
Except for that one.
Yeah.
Great for who?
Well, for us. I mean, we got points in all of them.
Yeah.
You know,
players probably appreciated it as well.
Great for all the Wild fans outside of the metro area, because all of them happen to be on NBC or NBC Sports.
Yeah, there was someone on Twitter that was like, I'm in Cleveland. I'm really happy that I get to watch these games. They're like, but you get Pierre. You get Pierre with all that. Yep. So,
you know, luckily we didn't have to listen to Pierre on... on Wednesday, the Chicago game.
Well, we didn't because we were in person.
We did see your tweets, though.
The rest
we
of us
feel
did.
For you.
We were keeping the shot counter going out for people that couldn't see it on TV since they were doing someone's shift times.
I didn't get a chance. It came and went so fast. The Tampa Bay game, I briefly saw
That's
a
what
shot
she said.
Counter. Shot counter. On NBC for like 30 seconds. No. Like 3 seconds. It was like up and then gone. And I was like, this should have been documented that they actually had it on there.
I know a lot of people were lobbying for a Dubnyk ice shift time counter.
That's information people want to see, though.
It right. is. How long has that goalie been on the ice for?
Well, I guess it could differ from the clock when, if it's a delayed penalty. You know?
Yeah, maybe. So the Chicago game, first game at home, went to overtime, lost.
Had that ridiculous, like, delay with the penalty that was, like,
The offsides on the goal.
Oh, with the review.
Yeah.
So basically, Parisi scored a goal, and it ended up, apparently it's an audio problem, and they were devolving to, like,
cell phones, it looked like.
It was like a little cell phone. Yeah, he was talking on it. So,
and he was trying to, like, cover his ear, because the crowd was, like, obviously at this
Bowling.
Point. We're already 5 minutes in, and now he's grabbing a cell phone. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, he was probably pretty angry, too. He's like, they better pay me for my minutes.
No OT on this one. The X had some pretty funny memes going up on the screen, though, that I don't know if any...
Actually probably the best, like, maybe things are different. At least this is my first game in person of the year, and it seems like the in-house, like, video ops has upped their game, maybe because they see, like, what Dallas is doing. I know you might know a little bit more since you're there all the time.
Last year it was just, you know, if there was a goal review or something, it was just, there was nothing going on. But now this year, they've stepped up the memes. Like, they got Kermit on there saying,
right,
like, that looks like a goal, but that's none of my business. Yeah, stuff like that.
They're at least trying, you know.
They're trying to appeal to the, you know, younger generation, get people, you know, because that's what's all over the internet these days.
Right.
Well, either that or you're just sitting there like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Or they show the stupid hockey gloves, like fan meter, like, the fake...
Oh, the power meter, yeah.
Yeah, the power meter, you know.
So, that happened, and that was kind of a...
It was just irritating.
Yeah, it was. And I did find out later, Aaron, I know we were discussing it at the game, that, yes, it was a Coach Q call for the replay.
Yeah.
And because it was undecided, since it didn't go in their favor, he still lost their timeout.
Okay.
For a decision that could not be made.
Didn't help the Wild. I mean, helped the Wild with the goal, but...
It did.
Yeah. You know.
Kind of crappy on the NHL's part, though, in general. Yeah. But, you know, that's...
They were having audio problems in the X the whole night anyway, so who knows what the hell was going on. Probably unrelated, but...
So...
I wonder if they ran out of power.
God.
All right.
That was bad. That
okay,
was bad.
Go ahead and mute me now. I'll mute myself.
Is that better?
No, it's not.
Wait. Try now.
Yep.
So Chicago game, a couple days later, Tampa Bay, Minnesota went to shootout, Wild one. Koivu with his patented shot that I don't know how every goalie does not know it by now.
It's amazing how you always think, oh, he's going to go a backhand and the goalie's going to know that's going to come, but it fools them more times than not. And it's kind of mind-blowing, actually.
Well, a few games ago during the shootout, he didn't even do the backhand. He just went straight forehand, just shot it right in. And I was watching it at home. I couldn't even believe it. He did not go backhand.
And then we had the Detroit game that the score, I think, differs a little bit more than what the game was. 6-3 with the Wild winning. A lot of those goals came late in the game.
Yeah.
So, Chicago game, though. Did Boudreau make the right choice in starting Dubnyk versus the Jets and Kemper against the Blackhawks?
Because the thinking is you'd want to start your stronger goalie against the stronger team, with the theory being that the Blackhawks are a stronger team. I mean, it's easy to second guess at this point, but...
And really, I guess I would say that Kemper didn't, you know, he didn't have a horrible game in net, really, I don't feel, against Chicago. I don't know, you know, Dubnyk might have saved us one goal there maybe, but I don't think it makes a huge difference, you know. When you're talking the back-to-backs like that, it's going to be kind of a toss-up sometimes. Every one of these teams that comes out here any night can, you know, put the other team under, so.
I don't know. What do you think, David?
I mean, at this point, I don't think it really matters that much, just because they have, what is it, 5-point lead on Chicago right now in the standings?
I think it's something like that. With like 3 or 4 games in hand.
Yeah. So at this point, if it was one game in hand, it was like a 2-point race, then yeah, I would probably say switch them around. But
might have been a different story.
At this point, I think Boudreau knows that this team's just firing on all cylinders. This team's playing great right now. So, you know, yeah, go Dubnyk and the Jets, get him an easy win, and then Yeah, yep. Let Kemper see what he can do just in case something happens to Dubnyk. And
you know, we still got a point out of it. So, it's like Chicago didn't climb as close as they wanted to.
Well, and Crawford played very well.
Playing out of his mind game.
The Wild had so many chances and opportunities where they're just buzzing.
Yeah.
And it felt like the Wild were going to pull it out, but Crawford was making some great saves. Nice. And if you had someone else in the net other than Crawford, it could have been a 6-3 game.
Would have been a different story.
It could have been a different story, but Crawford has played so well. So,
but that, and that's what I was, you know, where I'm coming from though too. I think Kemper still had a solid evening in net. I can't remember how many shots he faced that night, but it wasn't by any means an easy game.
No,
you know. So, I think that Kemper proved his worth and that he's going to be worthwhile down the stretch here because we're going to have to call on him against big teams.
Talked about there's a lot of back-to-backs coming up at the end of the season, so you know we're gonna have to see how he does one way or another against some solid teams.
Another thing too is maybe see what his trade value is gonna be worth. He has a good game with Chicago, you know, against Chicago. See, maybe his stock rises up because I know he's been kind of in talks of what's gonna happen with him because Dubnyk right now is protected, but Kemper's still up in the air.
And we got Stalock, so you know Kemper is technically, you know. If you're Chuck Fletcher, you're probably not wanting to mess with your lines a whole lot because you got chemistry going on. All lines seem, at one point or another seem to be clicking, regardless of who's putting together.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
So why mess with your skaters? And if you can get some, you know, get something of value out of Kemper while you've got him, you can bring in Stalock. The only thing is, do you feel comfortable with Stalock if Dubnyk were to get hurt down the stretch here?
Oh, with the Stalock Kemper combo.
Well, it would be Stalock, whoever is was it, is it McCulloch in Iowa still? I don't even remember who. Who's with him? I know Felsko will know, but but it's going to be pretty rough if we were to lose Dubnyk for any reason. So, whereas Kemper, at least we know he's won a playoff series before, you know.
He's capable of being a good goaltender. It's just you don't know when he's going to show up.
Right. Yeah, this is true.
So the other big event this weekend, eventful happening this weekend, was Nyquist deliberately high-sticking Spurgeon.
Way to go, Jared Boy.
There you go. So according to Nyquist in the Detroit Press or Free Press or whatever their newspaper is.
Detroit Free Press, yeah.
It was an accidental hit, and he lost control of his stick, and he should have had it. And it looked pretty deliberate from all the replays that I saw and all the GIFs that were floating around on
Twitter. There's one angle where he looks right at Spurgeon's face and goes like this. It's like, I don't know.
It was a hell of a...
accident?
Isn't
air quotes here. Hockey motion.
Yeah, that seemed like an accidentally on purpose.
Yes.
So, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt that it was an accident, which I'm not going with, players need to control their own stick, and we've seen it with our own PMB, who got a 2-game suspension about, 5 seasons ago, I think?
For
high-sticking Matt Colvert. And Colvert actually hit
himself
PMB's stick into his own face.
Right.
And, you know.
Or even last year with Donkey Teeth swinging around his stick and hitting hitting Coyle.
Everybody knows who Donkey Teeth is.
Duncan Keith.
Duncan Keith.
You know, I mean, that cost him, 5 games in a playoff game?
Yeah.
And this seems more deliberate to me than, I mean, obviously the Duncan Keith one where he swings around. He was trying to do something, but
he wasn't paying attention.
I can see how you can make the argument that he wasn't trying to hit someone in the face. I don't know how you can.
But then again, this isn't like, you know, floor hockey in grade school gym class, you know, where you are running around scared because your hands are about to get chopped off by, you know, all these kids who don't know how to play hockey. These are guys who have been playing hockey and they know how to control their stick.
They know what they're doing.
Yep.
So apart from the double minor that he got, which, I mean, what do you have to do to get a major in that game?
Well, and the fact,
pull out a gun and kill somebody?
I think Brad Watson was right at the play. I mean, I don't know how he couldn't have seen anything other than that.
Well, his hand went right up.
I mean, his hand did go right up, yeah. But yeah, what do you have to do? Shoot someone?
Seriously. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think he's got, Nyquist has an in-person hearing. I don't think it's happened yet from what I could find out. So any speculations on how many games a daytime rotten, crying, cheating, jerky, slashy face goon so you can get, so you can lose medicine Nyquist get?
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I think in order to get the in-person, you need the in-person in order to get at least 5-game suspension. So I'm thinking at least 5. I think the thing is Spurgeon came back. So even though I think that's the dumbest rule for the league, Spurgeon came back and Nyquist doesn't have a history of incidents like this. So 5 games, I mean, you can't do that, you know?
I'm thinking 5 as well.
Yeah.
Basically for the same reason. He doesn't have a history of it. Keith does. And unfortunately, with the 6 games, they kind of set a precedent of, you know, you high stick a guy in the face, we're going to give you 6 games. So this is, although this is more blatant, so I don't know. But I think
that's where I think, you know, he might get like seven games because if you're, you know, they slow it down and they watch it in slow motion. And if you're looking at his face, I mean,
He's looking right there.
It looks totally deliberate.
I don't buy his excuse either of his stick got caught.
Yeah.
That it got caught on the glass. Like, come on, dude.
You're right. You don't two-hand it and then the physics don't make sense in his explanation.
Yeah.
You know?
So he's not an MIT graduate, probably.
Well, there's no. Well, is there an MIT in Sweden? I don't think so. But,
probably not.
Yeah. The Malmo Institute of Technology.
They might have their own MIT. Well, let me not speak too soon on that.
Who was it that got the knee-on-knee hit in the playoffs and they gave him like a 4-game? Because they went by it frame by frame.
Oh, and that's what also happened in the game yesterday.
Was that Coyle?
It was a knee-on-knee on Zucker, actually. And Zucker had to leave the game for a little while and ended up coming back. But
I can't believe you missed that.
Yeah,
shooting the game. I missed that.
Well, it happens. I mean,
You're kind of working.
But
So if they go by it frame by frame, they can go, oh, his eyes turned at this frame.
So what are you thinking, Kenny? As far as
I'm gonna say at least 6, shooting for 8 or 9 is what I would like to see minimal.
Okay. I think we'll find out by Wednesday.
That
I think is
sounds about right.
Well, and from the way the Red Wings fans were reacting, didn't seem like anyone was terribly upset about it.
No.
So it'd be kind of like a few years ago if Brodziak got, you know, got suspended for a few games. Wild fans would be like, okay. All right.
Yeah. Get some actual shots on that.
Yeah, no more off the pipes. Yeah.
Is that about wrap it up for our week, Todd?
I think so.
All right.
All right, we've got our little Q&A section with David here. We've called together a whole bunch of questions. For those that don't know, you're a freelance photographer, a contributor to Icon Sportswire.
That is correct.
You're doing, obviously, the Wild games, Major League Baseball. I've seen some twin shots there.
Yep, do Major League Baseball, Gopher football, and Gopher basketball as well.
Okay. Cool.
So those are kind of the main things that I do, but hockey's kind of my bread and butter, I guess you could say.
Very nice.
So how long have you been shooting the Wild games?
So this is my second season.
Yeah.
So I did last season, and then I'm more than halfway now, but yeah, this is my second season.
We're on the home stretch.
Home stretch. Yeah, on the road to the playoffs.
Yeah, so. You got a lot longer left, I think. This year.
Have you shot any other hockey before this?
Before this, I've done. So actually, I got the first time I ever shot hockey was the pond hockey tournament that happens out on Lake Nokomis.
Oh, nice. Cool.
That's my old stomping grounds down there.
Yeah. So so that's kind of the first time I really shot hockey and just enjoyed it immensely.
Cool.
So then I tried to figure out ways that I could do this on a regular basis with the NHL, and here I am.
So then how did you start get into photography and especially as a profession?
So this is my 7th year shooting right now.
Wow.
So back in 2009, So I guess backstory to this. I used to play competitive paintball.
All right.
Super niche sport. Paintball itself is really niche, but
right.
competitive paintball, like with tournaments and stuff, is even more niche. And it's one of those things where you really have to know about it to kind of get into it. So I started shooting that, and I was hooked immediately. You know, just being on the sidelines, being close to the players, and just I took
it's
some.
It's better than getting pegged by those paintballs.
You get used to it after a while. Okay. And I mean, it's like I could even show you some of my stuff that I took from the very first time.
I thought you were going to say show us some of your welts.
But yeah, all my stuff. I mean, all my stuff from that event is just awful. But I stuck with it because I just fell in love with it and just been shooting ever since.
So you made the transition from paintball to pro sports.
Yep.
Or paid, yeah, pro sports, I guess.
Yeah, pro sports, yeah.
So, I know you're. I knew you tangentially because we're both moderators for the Wild subreddit.
Yep.
Which is kind of just a small world coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how long have you been a Wild fan then?
I was actually originally a Devils fan. Oh. That's how I got into hockey, and that was back in 2000. So that would have been. That was the year they won the cup, I believe.
So it was when Parisi came here.
Yeah, basically, I think is yeah. About right when Parisi signed, I think that's when I really started paying attention to the team because Parisi's my favorite player in the league right now, cool. And you know I've loved watching him. Well, I loved watching him in New Jersey with Zajac, Langenbrenner, and all them.
Any interaction with Chorsky?
I have never talked to Chorsky, no. Talked to Walls a couple times, Clymer a couple times too, but never Chorsky.
Chorsky's got a nice ring from when he won the cup with the Devils.
I'm sure he does.
So, speaking of that, we know that, you know, Russo gets to interact with, you know, players and mm-hmm. coaches. As a photographer who's kind of, at least, you know, what we see when we're watching TV or when we're in person,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of out in the... With the masses, the unwatched yep. masses, you know. So what do you have interaction with players and how is or are there, are coaches? And...
It's during the game. No, we're not allowed to. And that's if you start talking to them because, like, you know, I shot between the benches before and stuff. And if you start talking to them or talking to the refs just without them initiating you first, that's a good way to get yourself kicked out.
Uh-huh. So you never had an interaction with Pierre?
I have, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have twice. So my one Pierre story, so last year during the playoffs,
please
I come...
tell me you told him to shut up.
I come into the media room, because this was game six, actually, when I took that photo of where the puck looks like it's over the line.
Yep.
And if anybody is still upset about that, I'm sorry. So I come into the media room.
So you photoshopped it then?
Yes, that was all photoshopped, yes.
Yep. Straight from the source. Yeah. Yeah. Straight from the source.
For those of you that haven't seen it, I know the picture was posted just about everywhere where it looked like that final puck had just crossed the line.
Yeah.
That would have...
Yeah, the angle is very deceiving.
The angle, and that's because of your aerial shots, but go ahead, sorry.
So I set my camera up and I walk into the media room and... You know, there's tables all over the place so everyone can eat and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And at the biggest, they have these circular tables that can seat like, you know, eight people or whatever. And so there's eight people there and standing up right there, everybody is laughing, is Pierre right there. Just everybody loves this dude. You know, he's just laughing and joking with them and stuff. He starts walking out of the room and say, "Hey, Pierre." He's like, "Yeah, what's up?" He's like, "Can I get a picture with you?" He's like, "Yeah, absolutely." So we take the picture and he's like, "All right, now make sure it's a good one because if it's bad, we'll retake it." And he's like, "All right, no, it's good, it's good." He's like, "All right, yeah, thanks." So I told him, I was like, "Dude, I just got to be honest with you. I love listening to you on NBC. Like, I love when you're breaking down." He's like, "Oh, thank you very much." And then out he goes. Pierre is just his own, you know, just marches to his own beat.
His own breed.
And I actually saw him again at the Tampa game last week. So he was in the box, and I was going to be shooting there for the first period, but I had to sit on the bench because they didn't want me in the shot because they were doing his pregame.
Oh, sure.
You know, talking about both teams. So he comes out of the box because he's going to interview Zucker right before the game, you know, right before the game starts, so when they're all skating around for warm-ups, you know, come out and whatnot. So he comes out of the box. I say to him, "Hey, is it all right if I go in? Are you done?" He's like, and he starts doing this. And for the for people that are listening, he essentially just duck faces, gives me the thumbs up, and he's just bobbing his head back and forth. And so I tell him, I was like, "Hey, by the way, I'm David." He shakes my hand. And the thing about Pierre is he think about the best handshake you've ever gotten and multiply it times 10. That's Pierre.
It's a strong handshake.
Very strong handshake.
Oh.
Very strong handshake.
I wouldn't see that coming from him.
No, that dude does not mess around.
So it's like a Trump-like handshake? Where...
It's not even like that, where he's like pulling you in. He's just it's just very firm.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Watch out, Kenny. You're going to get your face busted in.
Maybe.
So no mention of Shattuck St. Mary?
No mention of Shattuck, no.
So that actually kind of leads me to another question. So when you're in the arena... How is it decided who gets to be between the benches, or what's the pecking order of who gets where?
So the Wild photographer, his name's Bruce, he decides where we're all going to go, and we find out about 30 minutes before the game starts. So basically, the hierarchy goes, he's number one, so he gets first pick at everything. So he usually ends up in the box if he can get in there. Sometimes TV's in there, or sometimes they have, if you've ever been to games, you'll see the glass kind of in between them for fans to sit, and they're like $2,000 a tick, you know, a seat.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Something like that. So sometimes it's closed off. So it's usually, so he gets first pick, then it's usually the papers, so Star Tribune, Pioneer Press.
Sure.
And then Getty, if they are there, which is usually for really big games. So, because all of Bruce's stuff, all the NHL photographers, all their stuff is syndicated through Getty already. So
so Getty doesn't really send someone on their own.
Unless it's a big game. So playoffs and then the Montreal game, since it's Montreal, they're huge. They had a Getty photographer there. So Getty will get next pick. And then it's usually Associated Press, then USA Today, and then me. And then after that, it's like Minnesota Hockey Magazine, Let's Play Hockey. Yeah. So
does that mean you usually end up on like the corners? Is that
I mean, Bruce is really good too. He'll give us some really good spots. He kind of knows where we like to shoot and everything, so he tries to get us there if he can. I'm pretty low on the pecking order, but he tries to accommodate me as best as he can.
Sure.
So it's not bad at all.
So with the whole over the line shot, I know you did a Reddit thing where you kind of walked through what your setup mm-hmm. was for that game. And, are you competing with anyone for that overhead shot then? Or are you about the only one going up in the catwalk? And
I mean, we're all kind of, all the wire photographers, we're all kind of in competition against each other because it's, you know, who can get their stuff up the quickest, who can take the better photo of any moment or anything. You end up getting a lot of shots that look similar. So especially like when I'm shooting basketball, because we're sitting right next to each other. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of shots that are similar, so it's kind of a race. So it's competitive, but we're all really good friends with each other, so it's not cutthroat, I guess. Yep. But as far as like the overhead stuff goes, I mean, it's plenty of places to put your camera up. So
are you the only one doing the overhead stuff?
Normally, yes. Bruce will do one as well, and then Star Tribune, depending on who is there, they will do one as well. But
so do you actually just like hang out from the crosswalk up or the catwalk up there, or do you mount a camera?
I mount one up there.
Okay. All right.
Someone's phone.
Someone's phone. Okay. Okay. So, talking about center ice, you said you've been at center ice, and I'm guessing it's probably the Bruce guy that you usually see wearing a white helmet.
Yep, yeah, those are required by the league, by the way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they're required by the league.
Okay, that was my question, actually. It was whether or not you had to wear those.
Yeah, I have to wear those. TV guys don't, obviously, but yeah, if we want to be in between there, got to wear a helmet.
You can't just sign a waiver, like... No, me and Dennis Savard, we're like this.
The credential that they give us, it says, you know, Minnesota Wild can't be held liable for any bodily damage or any personal damage to your, you know, equipment or anything. So I guess realistically, I could go in there without a helmet and be like, I'm a badass, but I don't want to risk it.
Well, speaking of, some of the Wild fans that are, you know, watching every game would have seen you a month or two ago, or late December.
I got nailed by that puck.
You got hit by a Graevac pass shot.
It was a dump in. Yeah. He was going off for a change, so he just dumps it in, and then, puck in the face.
So did it just hit the hole just right to...
It hit it, like, on the upper edge of it, and then it just hit me in the face. And I was looking down at my camera, so the backstory to this is that if you look at the video of it happening, you can see the guy just right to the right of me, just the grumpy looking guy. I'm sitting there. When I'm normally sitting on the glass, I usually have my camera up in case something happens, so I have it right there. But it's usually sitting like off to the side, so it's not like right in the hole or anything. Right. And so I'm sitting there. Play is at the other end of the ice, and I'm sitting there watching, and I'm looking up at the video board stuff. And he says, "Hey, bud, you got to keep your camera down when you're not shooting. I didn't pay fucking $270, you know, for per seat to try to look over your camera," which I was like, "All right, whatever, dude." But it didn't make any sense to me because at that angle, like, what are you going to see through the glass? Because you have all the stanchions there and everything. Right. Most people are just going to look up at the video board. So I said, all right, whatever. He was nice afterwards. He's just a little grumpy. I had to look over my camera. So it's like, cool, dude. Yeah. If I was more of a dick, I would have been like, hey, you need to keep your fucking mouth shut. Right. So yeah, I had my camera down. And when I got hit, I was looking through my photos so I could tag the ones that I liked. So that I could send the ones, you know, right. So I could send them all. And that's when I heard just the loudest bang ever. And that's when I just feel something hit me in the face. And yeah, look up. There's a puck fluttering. It's just.
And you didn't some even... people see stars. You see pucks fluttering.
Right. I was just, well, and so I saw the puck just up in the air. And the like what I saw, and the guy too, if you see the video. Some guy runs down from about three rows up, grabs the puck, runs back to his seat, and just holding it up.
What a dick.
Like he's some hero.
Did you go beat him?
No. So I tried to get the puck back, and he's talking on the phone. I tap him on the shoulder, and he looks at me, and I just go, hey, can I get the puck back? He's like, what? Yeah, it's like, yeah, can I get the puck? He's like, no. Oh, man. And I just kind of looked at him like, are you serious? And he just goes, oh, come on, dude, come on. It's for my 8-year-old sister. Like, I just called her. She's so excited. Come on, man. Can I just keep it? Meanwhile, security's escorting me up because I have to go to first aid. And when I asked for the puck, the security guy just swiped it out of his hands. So then that's when the guy starts, he's like, it's for my 8-year-old sister. And so I was just like, all right, whatever, dude, just keep it. Mainly I said it, I wanted him to keep it because, like, if it was for his 8-year-old sister, I didn't want her to be, like, in the ICU or something. Right. I'd be like, selfish photographer takes puck that was meant for a, for a girl that's a little girl that's terminal. Right. So I just
her last dying wish, and you had a
I just wanted that puck, so I just told him, whatever, dude, just keep it. He's like, oh, thanks, man, thanks. So I go get cleaned up, all the blood's washed off and everything. And then I think it was about two or three games later, I go to pick up my credential, and the lady that handles credentialing and stuff for photographers and whatnot, she's like, hey, I got something for you. And she gave me a puck. It was signed by Tyler Graovac, and it says sorry on there.
Nice.
That's something you're going to be mounting on your wall.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
See, and either A, that guy's just a jerk and he's got karma coming from him to him because he lied to you. Or be his 8-year-old sister in the ICU is happy.
Yeah, I figure, you know, win-win either way. Yeah. Plus, I got a puck that sign. It says sorry on it. So
that reminds me of when I was a young guy, a lot of years back now, probably about 9 or 10 years old, at a Twins game in the Humpty Dump, and Shane Mack fouls the ball off. And, you know, I'm sitting right on the aisle seats, and there's a guy right across the aisle seats from me. I'm like a 9 or 10 year old kid here out to see the baseball game, and this foul ball comes right in between us.
Mm-hmm.
We both grab for it with our hand, right? Now, this is a grown man, and he sits there and he wrestles with this 9 or 10 year old kid for a baseball. It's like, come on, dude.
That reminds me of that lady. It happened, like, I don't know, might be 10 years ago now, but there was a lady who was caught on camera basically wrestling a baseball away from, like, a 4-year-old girl.
Oh, jeez.
And she's, like, all excited, and she got so much shamed. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, yeah.
Well, there's a clip of Jeter in his last season. He's walking over. I think it was after – he's walking over because there was this little girl that was, like, in a row behind the front row. And he's pointing at her, but there's a lady right in front of him, like, trying to snatch it out of his hand. You can see him. He's just pulling it back, so she can't get it.
Why people gotta be such jerks?
Yeah. I almost got smoked by a foul ball when I was shooting twins. Yeah. And he comes back in the little area, and I'm right in the tunnel that leads right out onto the field and everything to where we have to go back into to edit and everything. And this guy, he's got to be like 60 years old, just pops and goes, oh, me. So I just toss it to him. I can't really say no, because I usually, you know, if you get a foul ball hit to you, or like, even if a puck ends up like right in my lap, I'm looking for a little kid to give it to, because they're gonna find the value out of that more than,
right.
I mean, adults will find a goal too, but little kid's going to be way more.
Yeah, but it's gonna be have enough cherish.
Yeah, they're gonna be way more stoked for it. Yeah, just some me. It's like, all right.
Doesn't that always have to be a kid, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
kid at heart.
Yeah.
Right. So the last question I've got is, have you been able to shoot any wild games outside of the X?
I have not. No, right. I want to. I really want to get to Detroit because I believe they play there at the end of March. Since this is the last season for them being in the jail.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And as much of a dump that place is, it's so iconic because you have so many names that have played there. So, right. Yeah, I would love to shoot there. I just don't think I'm going to be able to afford that. So, yeah, no, all my NHL hockey has been shot at XL, but would love to get out more. And, like, I'd love to shoot a game at the United Center, for instance, too.
Oh, right.
That's
only, you know, 6 hours away, you know.
It's not bad.
If you're driving, that is.
Yeah.
You don't even have to hit downtown Chicago.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, you can say that's out on the west side, right?
Yeah. Yep, you see it as you're going into it, into Chicago.
Okay, well, should we get to the movements and...
Movements?
Injuries and stuff.
All right, here we go. Yeah. So, in movements this week, I guess a little bit of good news. Brodin has been back at practice. I don't know that he's quite 100% or ready to start yet, but he's been nursing that broken finger, and so. But beyond that, I guess the Wild, since he's been gone, I know we've seen an increase in the amount of time that Suter has seen on ice. That's been going back up again.
It has been going up, yeah.
Yeah. And I know Spurgeon has kind of also been part of that too. Should we be concerned then that, you know, some of the other defensemen, like, say, Scandella or Adumba, that they're not stepping up or playing a bigger role in this?
I don't know. What do you think, David?
As far as what? Like getting claimed or getting lost to the expansion?
No, getting into the action and being stepping up so Boudreaux is calling their number when there are situations out there and we're not, you know, pushing Suter over 30 minutes a game again.
I guess I don't get the question.
All right. Do you think the ice time should be more evenly spread, or is this injury really forcing Boudreaux's hand to play the Suter 30-plus minute kind of situation?
Yeah, I think it needs more evenly spread, especially come playoff time. I mean, Suter's got to be fresh because I have a hard time saying he's our best defenseman because I love Spurgeon so much and how he's been playing this year. But I would say if you asked a lot of guys, they would say that Suter's kind of the anchor on the blue line.
Koivu actually, I just said that in his Players Tribune.
Yeah.
That Suter is basically the anchor of the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about Suter is he is just pretty much solid. I mean, very rarely will you find him caught out of position, or, you know, half the time he'll look like he's gliding, but, I mean, he's where he needs to be when he needs to be there.
He reminds me a lot of Scott Niedermeyer with his skating. Yeah. It's just effortless, and he's just always where he needs to be, and it's, you know, I think a lot of people rag on him because it looks like he's not putting the effort out there, I think with him, he's very calculated, and he's always thinking two steps ahead about what he's going to do. Yeah. So
he's a very smart defenseman. I will give him that.
Smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Well,
hey. If it works. Yep.
Well, and I do worry because I don't know that. I feel like Scandella and Dumba have both taken a step back this year.
Yeah.
So I worry about them getting more ice time when they aren't really playing to deserve it.
Well, and that's you know, was kind of what I was, you know, leaning towards with my question here is, you know, do we need to be concerned that, you know, we can't look back to somebody like Scandella or Dumba, you know, the next man up, right? I mean...
Well, right now it's pretty much cemented that, you know, Suter is our number one guy.
Fair enough.
And I think Spurgeon is our number two guy.
Yep.
Brodin might be a 2B or something like that, but...
You know. Or keeps that second line of defense, you know, whether Brodin plays up with Suter or Brodin plays back on the second pairing of defense. I mean, that's going to be an improvement right there. And, I mean... That's what I'm saying, you know. If we don't have the depth there that we can trust to go back, down the road, we might be looking at some troubles.
Well, right now, I mean, just looking at numbers, Suter is sitting at like 27-16 for his average time on ice, and Spurgeon's actually not too far behind him at 24-14.
I mean, I just look at the last few games, though, and I've seen Prosser make so many boneheaded moves.
It's tend to see that with Prosser, though.
You do, but it's tough to watch, and you don't expect that to see a player make regularly making errors like that on a team that's supposed to be a cup contender.
But also, Prosser hasn't really even seen the light of day most of the season. He's, you know, he hasn't been down in Iowa getting time down
there.
Just
been sitting in the press box.
Yeah, he's just been sitting up on the side, not getting any gameplay. And your game is going to get rusty when you're like that. So I guess, you know, I'm more concerned in somebody like Scandella that, you know, that's a person I would expect at this point in his career to be, you know, stepping up, especially when there's an injury like that.
I mean, I think we've seen it in increments with Dumba, but it's like he takes two steps going forward and all of a sudden he's taking three steps going back. Yeah. Where it's like he's starting to look good and then he just relapses almost and starts playing his old style again. He's getting beat, making dumb mistakes.
Yeah. So also with this injury, we've also given some of the younger talent a little bit of a look out there. Riley's gotten quite a bit of playing time, and we've also seen Olsen. What are you guys' thoughts on those two? I mean, which one of them do you think maybe is the better contributor to the team at this point, or
I like Riley.
You like Riley?
I do like Riley. I think he fits in a little bit better with the style that's happening right now.
I don't know. I think Riley is still too inconsistent. I liked Olofsson. I mean, he had a great game yesterday. I didn't feel like he was a liability out on the ice. Like, I sometimes feel like Riley is just a little too loosey-goosey.
Yeah, I feel like Riley makes pinches at the bad time at bad times.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that he's not making the smart defensive decisions. You know, where in the down in the lower leagues, you might be able to get away with some of that. But in once you get up to the NHL, I mean, you're gonna pay if you happen to pinch and you let somebody go. 2-on-1, 2-on-0, 1-on-0, well, you know, they make you pay, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I did like Olsen's game, especially yesterday. They kind of had him quarterbacking the power play a little.
Yeah.
And he looked great. They're moving the puck well. I think if you get him some more regular games, we'll see how he does. But I like his game early on.
Yeah.
I agree. So, all right. So we've also got Dumba. He's out now.
Yep.
He's hurt with a lower body injury. So he was out for Sunday's game.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Does that make our, thin out our defensive core there some more?
That just means we're playing Prosser more, so that's a little frightening.
We'll get to see more of Prosser, Riley, and Olofsson.
But I like, I mean... I don't know how everyone else feels, but I like Folan. So I
I do too. I think he's a big body on the blue line.
Yeah, I think he's a big guy who's not afraid to get in physical spots, and he doesn't make nearly as many dumb plays as I feel like Prosser does. Yeah. something in the water up in Elk River, I guess. So. Wait, what is that, Blaine? I think maybe it was.
Well, Blaine doesn't have any water to drink right now, so it can't be Blaine. It's got to be Elk River.
And I like Follin, but I also like how, you know, our defensive core actually works at this point right now, where they're not afraid to, you know, step up into the rush and, you know, creating like in some cases, you know, turning like a 3-on-3 into 4-on-3 or a 3-on-2 into a 4-on-2 with them coming up like that. And I got to say, you know, that's something we'll be missing with Dumba being out. And you're not going to get that from like a Follin or a Prosser, or
right. They're staying on the perimeter, and
right. Riley will probably do it for you, but maybe not at the right time.
They all, just from what I've seen, they all look confident with the puck, or even joining the rush. They all look really confident. Whereas last year, I saw a lot of timidness out of it. So I think it's making a big difference, especially too with our offense, because right now I think we're averaging something like 3 goals a game. Or something like that. So defense joining in, it's very noticeable.
Yep. It is.
Definitely. So upcoming this week, though, we've got a few games against some conference foes.
All home games.
All home games again. I mean, what is this? So is this like 7?
This will be 6.
But I think it's like an 8-game homestand, eight or nine-game homestand. Yeah.
It's so we can travel a lot in March and April.
Well, they've already done a lot of traveling, though, too, actually.
Yeah, but you're going to have a couple burned weekends with the state hockey tournament. And
when you consider it, though, they've already done a couple swipes up through Canada.
Yeah. We'll see some West Coast happening, I think.
I think they've already had 2 shots out west already.
At least one. Yeah.
Didn't they start off the year out there, if I remember right?
I don't remember.
Have they had their bye week yet?
No.
No.
So that's coming up too.
So, but anyways, we got about, you know, 3 games this week at teams that have been playing probably about 500 hockey, give or take, as of late. We've got the Ducks and the Stars and then the Purds. I mean, they're all conference games that are coming up. So they're going to be important. I know that we do have a lead, but if you start dropping games to people within your conference, that lead can shrink really quick.
I don't know. I think the game yesterday against the Wings made me. That's a game where, in years past, the Wild would have lost because they should have won.
Yeah.
And you know what they did yesterday? They won. And they won
handily.
Handily. Yeah. Yep. And. It made me less worried for this upcoming streak here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So which of the games from this week do you think probably is the most important, being that they're all Western Conference? The Ducks, the Stars, or the Predators?
I would say Preds, just because they're the ones in the Central that are closer to a playoff spot.
That would be my thought as well.
Yeah. They're probably the most, quote-unquote, dangerous team that the Wild are going to be facing in this 3-game homestand coming up.
Yeah. I mean, the Ducks haven't been playing too bad, though.
The Ducks would be closest, I think, as far as points go. But right now, I mean, it would take a tremendous fall for the Wild to even have the Ducks come close to taking over the conference.
Yeah.
Ducks have Randy Carlisle coaching, too, so I'm really not worried.
Not worried.
Really not worried about that.
Yeah, yeah I'm gonna go with the Purds because...
Yeah.
They always seem to play as tough.
All right.
Regardless, you know.
So the Predators sounds like the pick of the week then for tough game predictions. Yeah.
PK Subban too, also always a threat on the ice. You got to watch out for him.
What are your predictions for the game then, guys?
I'm going to say 3-2 and Suter gets a goal.
3-2 beer and Suter gets a goal.
I'm going to go 3-1. And Pommaville gets a goal.
Whoa.
We have to pick who gets a goal?
No, but this just seems like a fun idea.
I'm going to go 5-4.
So Kemper's in that.
Kemper gets a goal. Kemper gets a goal. You heard it here first, folks.
Hextile style. Yep.
I'll go with 2-1. Scott Stevens is going to come over the bench. He's going to get himself a goal out there.
Now, the question is, who actually did not drink the magic Kool-Aid here?
I think we're all drinking the Kool-Aid at this point. It's hard not to, you know? Yeah. I'm like, Boost Boudreau is like our Jim Jones, and we're just like, yes, please.
Yes, sir.
He's taken a lot of teams to the promised land, but he's gotten them all killed once he's got them.
Just like Jim Jones.
Oh, man. All right, should we get into Twitter talk?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
First question from Tom Hain, T-Hain, 88, not to be confused with T-Pain. Granny and Nino need deals. Both are having breakout years. What type of deal do you foresee them taking for both to stay? I worry about that. I think Granny's having a great year. Nino a little less so, but Nino is Nino. I'm going to say they're both going to need at least 3 years, and we're probably talking 4 or 5 million a year. They're going to need money. Yep. You know, I don't know. What are you thinking, David?
I think Nino is going to get probably a better deal than Granlund. Granlund's working out really well on the wing, but I think Fletcher is going to be, you had one really good year. Let's see it again. Yeah. So we'll give you a deal, but it's not going to be a huge payday. I don't think it's not going to be a bridge contract, but I'm thinking he probably gets 4 or 5 years on his next deal. I don't know. I couldn't tell you money value. Yeah. But yeah, I think Nino to me is the more consistent player. So I think I think we could see maybe a 5-6 year deal for him.
What do you think, Jeff?
I'm thinking that Granlund has had a pretty spectacular year. Like you said, I mean, that's not what we're, you know, totally used to from Granlund. He is still fairly young. So,
well, they're both 24.
Right.
Babies.
And so, you know, I think that from what we have seen this year, though, I think that we can see that there's probably more upside to Granny. So I think that, you know, he might actually, you know, be able to finagle some sort of a higher end deal. Nino, he's a solid player, and he's having a good season. I just, like Granlund, I think draws in people's attention a little bit more. Like, he's got more of that star charisma maybe to him. So
star charisma for a Finn, at least
for a Finn. as charismatic as a Finn can be. I'm saying more like with his play,
right?
His plays.
So not the full excitement, like when he gets a hat trick.
Yeah, not when he's being interviewed after getting a hat trick.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. It's just a goal. Right.
Can we keep them both for like $3 million? Can we just re-sign their entry level again?
Let's go back to like the old days where you just paid them what they got, and they don't have a choice.
They can go
play in Russia or whatever.
Can we just do like a sliding scale? We'll pay you X amount per goal, per assist, and per point.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. Not in the cap era.
Yeah. I think they're both going to have to be at least 3-year deals, and I'm thinking they're both going to want at least between $4 and $6 million. And it's going to be a tough signing to keep both of them.
Tough on the books, too.
Yep.
Our next question we have is from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. What was the most egregious thing you've ever caught on photo at a hockey game? I think that's probably pointed at you.
Yeah,
I haven't done a lot of photo shoots at hockey games.
Most egregious thing, I don't really think there's a whole lot, because hockey players are notorious for not having personalities to begin with. Mm-hmm. There's really not a whole lot that goes on like during a game. I mean, you see fights and everything break out, stuff like that. You see players, you know, yelling at each other. I mean, I got a actually got a really good shot of Koivu when they were playing the Flames. Really chippy game and everything, and I got a great shot of him yelling at Kraus, and you never see him getting angry.
Right.
Unless you really piss him off. Right. Unless you really, really piss him off. Not really a whole lot of egregious stuff. I will say though that when I first started out, I had a lot of, and it's always old dudes, always like tap me on the shoulder. Hey, get some pictures of the ice girls that are skating by. It's always the guys that are like in their 50s and 60s that are always creeping on the ice crew, and it's like our ice crew to begin with. It's like it's co-ed. There's like four or five guys that skate out there as well, yeah. And they're all in black tracksuits. There's nothing revealing about them. But it's that was hysterical.
So it won't be like that Timberwolves game that I took my daughter to, and it's halftime, and the Reebok girls are out there dancing. Next thing you know, you see this one, and she's got her arms across her chest, and she's running off the floor. Note, I was at this with my 13-year-old daughter at the time. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, Gopher cheerleaders have more revealing outfits than the ice crew does here.
Sad.
And
where is it? Is it Dallas where they have like a swimsuit on or whatever when they're
They brought them from the North Stars. So the North Stars had the I don't remember what they called them, but where they'd be dancing out in the concourse and stuff.
They like regular cheerleaders.
Yeah,
and didn't they do like intermission shows too?
I was young last time I went to a Stars game, so.
I think we all were.
The funniest story, my very first assignment that I shot, I was sitting, I was sitting there in the corner, and this guy, he had to be in his like 60s. Mm-hmm. The ice crew's clean, scraping the ice and everything. He taps me on the shoulder, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he just goes, the one in the front looks the best.
Oh, perfect.
What is he looking for? He's looking for a... Totally. Or are you looking for like a bonding moment?
I was just like, I just kind of laughed. I was like, yeah. I don't know what to say in that situation.
Looking for a confirmation? Like, am I seeing things?
Like,
right
dude,
here?
Do you want me to like high five you or what?
Yeah, buddy.
Oh. All right. Next from Tom Hone.
Tom Hane.
Hane. Tom Hane.
T. Hane.
T. Hane, 88. What with current Impact players needing contracts soon and a number of high-end players coming up, who do you think the Minnesota Wild doesn't re-sign?
That is... I think they're going to have to move someone, but that's probably going to be in the offseason.
Someone's getting claimed, too, with the Vegas expansion draft.
Right.
Yep.
The Wild are hoping it's going to be, someone not important, but it's probably going to be someone important. I don't know. I my mind goes to the people I want to protect, not necessarily the ones I, want to leave unprotected,
And I guess, and this might be me with some wishful thinking, but we do have a couple of Midwest boys, we'll call them. We got Parisi. We got Suter. They're both pretty close to home right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably liking being around here. They've got a little bit of money on their, contracts left. I'm hoping that one Mr. Fletcher might actually be able to chat with these guys and say, hey, we'll work this out, but let's keep some of this younger talent around you guys so you guys can have good seasons for the rest of your career here.
You're hoping Fletcher tries to renegotiate those contracts and something that's a little more cap friendly.
Yes.
So we need to see more Zach Parise and Ryan Suter commercials to make up for this loss.
come to Quick Trip, please.
Hope to see you soon.
We'll get you in with SA too. How about that?
Ooh, dueling commercials: Parise with SA and Suter with Quick Trip.
Oh, see,
Pommenville gets Holiday.
Holiday. I was just going to ask who gets Holiday. Right?
He'd be like, "Don't miss it."
Actually,
don't miss your exit for Holiday.
Actually, I swear I saw a. Circle K coming in here.
Oh.
Out on in Roseville, actually.
I haven't seen one of those since I moved from Arizona.
Well, it was a BP.
Yeah, because they're all over.
They're all over the valley.
Yeah, it's a BP store, but it had the Circle K logo on it. So I'm wondering if they're not,
Okay, totally off topic, but if we had a sponsor for Come and Go, who's the sponsor?
Is Danny Hickey still on the team?
No.
No, he came and went.
I know who it would be. It would be Chris Stewart.
I could see that.
Do you have a reason for this?
Well, number one, he's come, he's gone, he's come.
Nah, you're taking a very
He seems like a guy that would laugh at the whole come and go thing, too.
But yes, and I definitely see that, you know, with his personality, he would, you know, coming in hot, you know.
Coming in hot.
Okay.
So that there's your non-answer, Tom. Next question from Tim McHugh at Tim Nato. Will Gravac clear waivers? Who slots in the fourth line center? Is Ryan Carter in the mix? I think Gravac would clear waivers. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's, you know, so great where people are going to be jumping over themselves to get him. I don't think Ryan Carter's in the mix at this point.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that Ryan Carter actually has, you know, a little bit of a, you know, veteran like experience with him that could be actually valuable down the stretch.
He does have playoff,
and he does. I mean, they went to the finals with Parisi the year before Parisi came here. So there is that. But the thing is, he's coming off a major shoulder injury,
and that
who knows if what's going to be, what his play is going to be like. It's not like he was like lighting the lamp all the time as it was.
He also wasn't one of the lowest scorers on the team for being on the third and fourth line.
See, I feel we already got Chris Stewart to kind of fill that role, so I don't think we need two Chris Stewart like players.
Guys like Ryan Carter are a dime a dozen in this league, especially.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes in from Ty Sandstrom at Ty Sands 42. How many games will Tim McCracken Gustav Nyquist get for his accident spearing Spurgeon's face?
I think we already discussed that.
We did.
Yeah.
He's setting the over-under at 7. So let's actually just do under. The over-under on
I'll
it.
Do under.
Yeah, I'm taking under.
Yeah. Can I take even money?
Sure.
That's what I was going to say is even, but for sake of the show, I'll go over.
All right.
All right.
All right. And our last question of the evening coming from Mr. Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Is Eric Staal injured because his production has flatlined and he hasn't been nearly as dominant in the last 10 games?
You know, who knows at this point? I mean, Coyle had two injured shoulders during this long Ironman streak and he didn't miss any games. So who knows what's wrong with him, if there is something wrong with him. I think the bigger problem is if he's not injured, he's always the one who's getting moved around with other players to see if other players can find their spark.
Right.
So maybe that affects him more than, say, some of these other guys who are – he's not looking maybe to score or to find that spark, and while these other guys are, and he's just not used to all this changing. I don't know.
Well, I think also what's happening is you get a line that's hot, the other teams are matching it, all of a sudden another line comes to life. And it's just kind of a progression thing where, you know, just other teams line matching or trying to line match with the Wild. So he's going up against the tougher opponents right now. And that's when you all of a sudden you see like the Koivu Granny combination and with whoever else is on their line.
Right.
Lighten it up.
Well, go ahead.
He does have 3 points in his last 5 games.
Yeah.
All assists, but.
And I guess, you know, I have. You know, been looking at his play lately, and I do see, like, sometimes he seems kind of slow to get up when he's getting knocked down to the ice. So, you know, I do kind of actually wonder if there isn't something else underlying going on that's, you know, holding them back a little bit.
But you can make the argument that every player at this point, though, is battling something.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. There's, you know, and he's also on the older side, you know, And as you birthday boys found out, you know, you get a little bit older, and your body just doesn't recover like it did before, right?
This is very true.
Yeah. I'm with Aaron on this one. I think Boudreaux's been, and this is what I think kind of doomed Yo. He just would not switch up lines. He was very loyal to the veterans. Would not switch lines. Whereas Boudreaux, he's not afraid to switch stuff around. So yeah. I think it can be a little hard for Staal to kind of find his groove with whoever he's playing with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just look at Russo's Twitter, from updates from practice. He's like, got new lines. New lines today.
Yeah.
I remember even the game yesterday, he's moving lines around. I'm like, I don't know what he's doing here, but
it's working.
This is when it was like a really close game, and then all of a sudden, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bruce knows something that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Yeah. Me standing behind the bench.
Exactly. So but at the same point, Yo did the line juggling, but it didn't work. So
that's because Yo kept all his veteran players in top standing, whereas Boudreaux's like, nope, you're going down.
Well, and really, it's. Yeah, I know they talked about it during the broadcast yesterday, but what is the line number? If everyone's getting similar minutes, who cares what your number is? It was like the worst thing you can do is number your lines, because if you think that's the fourth line, well, that could be the first line, and you're screwed.
Yeah,
And maybe that was Yo's problem, is he always had like these grinder types, and you basically had a wasted line that was never going to score any points.
He had a very old school approach with his lines,
so.
And he just refused to break up that Parisi, Koivu, Palmville line, which at times was just awful.
Yeah. This is very true. So,
all
right. Well, I think that's it for Twitter.
Yeah.
That's almost it for the show.
I think that's it for the show.
Long episode.
Wow. Yeah. David, where can people find what you're up to?
So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at David Birdbag. It's B-E-R-D bag. Just normally bag. And then Facebook, I am David Birding Photography. And then that is also my website, just added.com on the end.
Nice.
Awesome. And Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nostracanius.
Jive.
And you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you have questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show.
Guest next week.
And we do have a guest next week. It's a friend of the show, Tim McHugh, Tim Nato. He will be here with us next week, and look forward to that.
Woo-hoo!
So I think that's it for the show. All right. Have a good night.
Bye.